Tom and Ollie.
Cook the men some eggs.
Come get some. On Triple M.
Wow! Go up there and make out of a noise.
There are a couple of pencil necks we found out in the bush.
Yeah.
One's got a cookie duster, the other a man bun.
Ah!
Tom.
Hello, sailor.
And Ollie.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
Yeah, my parents aren't, but I am.
This is Tom and Ollie.
Just to get together with a couple mates and then it sort of just got out of hand.
On Triple M.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't really.
Hey, it's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We've been described as being... as doing juvenile talk back.
Yeah. Spit it out, Tom.
Sorry, mate.
We have. We ask a lot of questions. But, Tom, one quick one, just based purely on myself and my birthday coming up on this Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm turning 27.
Yep.
I'm getting a gift that I didn't expect to get on May 27.
Really?
Yeah, so maybe you can relax. Chappelle Corby back in the country on Australia on my birthday on Saturday. Little gift that I didn't expect.
You and Chappelle friends, are you?
Oh, no, not intimately. I know her well. She doesn't know me well.
Well, while you've been relaxing, celebrating the fact that Chappelle's back in the country, Ollie, I've been freaking out for my stand-up comedy gig, which is happening on Thursday. I have literally lost sleep last night. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep properly. I'm freaking the F
out. You posted a photo saying, oh, sleepless night last night, and I was like, you're talking it up. But I looked at the photo quite closely, and you did have serious baggage under your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
You're actually awake, were you?
Yeah.
Worrying?
The problem was that all today I've been stressing so much... that I have literally been putting off writing.
Come on, mate. It's Thursday.
I've been putting it off. I can't...
Surely when you're stressing out, you go, I've got to do the gags. I've got to write the gags.
I know. That's what you'd think, but I haven't been doing that. And so
illogical.
I thought maybe just a quick one to start the show off on 133353. Are you putting something off? You're putting something off. Are you not doing it because you're too stressed or whatever?
Are you doing a Tom? And being stupid and putting something off.
Give us a call on 133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's Fuel with their song Shimmer. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. And we ask a lot of questions. And I have been freaking out about this whole stand-up gig that's happening on Thursday, Ollie. I'm doing it for the first time. And
come and see Tom Bomb at George's Bar.
Yeah.
8 p.m. onwards.
Down in Melbourne. It's going to happen. They're the only ones that could give me the gig.
Fitzroy.
So... this is the deal, right? I have been freaking out so much that I feel like I need something nice in my life right now because it's just...
You want to reward yourself for having written no jokes and doing a show on Thursday.
And one thing I thought is, hey, how good are pets? So I saw an article today on Broadsheet, you know, Broadsheet?
Yeah, yeah. Fancy,
they do like
fancy
cool,
mag about
yeah.
restaurants and...
They had an article up there saying that the seeing eye dogs need people to volunteer and take a puppy for a year.
So yeah, but that's a massive commitment.
Is it though?
Definitely.
It says it's a massive commitment and I'm willing to take that commitment. So this is what I'm going to do. I actually have.
Have you researched it?
Today I applied. I applied to be a seeing eye dog volunteer. Well, I would have thought I had a round of applause or something from you for being a volunteer and taking an eye dog.
I think you're doing this without any research. You realize you've got to like look after it all the time.
Yeah, you can't leave it for longer than 3 hours.
How are you going to manage that? What are you going to do when you...
What do I do? What do I do currently that would stop me from doing it?
Work for 7 hours?
Yeah, but at night. And then I've got housemates that can look after it. So it's fine.
Are you serious? What if you go... So you can't go away for a year.
Yeah, you can. They have other volunteers that can take your puppy for you for while you go away.
I don't think your research is anywhere near enough.
Really?
No, because this dog is going to save someone's life. It needs to be looked after properly.
I know, and I'm willing to do that. I'm willing
and
to be a good guy.
And you just decided in what?
Guys, I'm willing to be a good guy. You know?
You've decided in one day.
Yeah, and I did the application form, so I don't see what the issue is.
I just think you're ill-equipped. I don't think you know what you're doing.
Well then 133353, have you had a seeing eye puppy?
Yeah.
Is it hard? Like, what's the deal?
Let's bring some reality back to you here, Tom, because I think you need to hear from people who do this. You can't just get the dog. Sure, they're cute. Everyone dreams of getting these little puppies.
Oh my God,
they're
a dream.
Golden retrievers?
You can take them to the cinema.
Can you?
And to the shopping centre.
That's pretty good.
Because they have a little coat on them saying, training dog.
And do you, everywhere you go, do you say, training dog, Tommy coming through with my doggy?
So, actually, can you help me out? 133353, have you had a seeing eye puppy? Because I'm guessing it's easy, and I'm guessing that I'll be able to commit time. I don't do anything during the day. I go to the pool for a swim.
You're so misguided.
The dog can come to the pool and sit by the pool.
What are you going to do when you want to go out in the on a weekend, or you know, go out for a day? What are you going to do?
Give it to my housemates.
They've got lives. You haven't thought this through at all. You have not thought this through. So look, it's pretty important. 133353. I think Tom needs to hear exactly how this works. Is it as easy as he thinks, or is it actually a kind of a big deal?
If you had a seeing eye puppy, give us a call 133353. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Kings of Leon with their song Reverend. It's off their album Walls. It's a bloody cracker of an album. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. In about 20 minutes' time, we're going to be discussing mouse and rat horror stories, rodent horror stories.
Ugh. Gross.
Very animalistic first hour, isn't it, of the show?
Yeah, well, you're apparently going to get a guide dog, a seeing eye dog or a seeing guide dog. What are they called? You'd know, you applied for one today, which I just think is a very, I don't know, ill thought out thing to do.
Yeah, seeing eye dogs, they need people to adopt them. So I'm going to become a volunteer, take on a puppy for a year, train it.
It is 1 year, isn't it?
Yep, 1 year commitment.
Just 1 year where you can't go away. Ever?
No, that's not true. There's other volunteers within your network that can take your puppy for you if you go away and stuff.
Look, son, I just feel like you are not taking this seriously, and you think that, what, when you want to go somewhere else, go see a friend, that your dad's going to look after it? Because he's not.
Daddy, please let me have a pet.
And I'm not look your after dad, it. And I'm telling you, your dad won't do it, and I won't do it.
Daddy.
Don't call me dad. That's weird, because that was like a sexy daddy.
133353, if you've had a seeing eye puppy. Danny, have you had one before?
I haven't had one personally, but I just want to say,
yeah,
if you're going to have one for a whole year, yeah, surely you're going to have some personal, you know, love for the dog, and then all of a sudden that day will come when you have to hand it back to the guide dogs.
Yeah,
good point, Danny.
It'd be like having your own child, and then giving, you know, bringing him up for a year, then giving him back to, you know, whoever wants him.
Well, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make, though, Danny, because I'm a good guy.
Yeah, okay.
No, you know, Danny, well, Tom's
strong. Anything good? That's great.
He's quite short-sighted. So he wants the instant gratification. And without the sadness.
No, I get the idea that you have to give it back after a year.
Yeah.
They say that extensively on the form, like you understand this, but they can organize another one there ready to go once you give it back. See? So it's fine, Danny.
Pass them on.
Oh, it sounds desperate. But Tom, you're kind of used to getting attached and then having to let go, I guess.
What do you mean by that, mate?
Oh, I don't
is
know.
That loaded or is that just a cheap dig?
No, I'm sure, you know, partners come and go.
Not the current one.
No, well, he's sticking around, which is good. But I'm just saying, maybe it's something you're used to.
All right, stop digging yourself a hole, mate. James, you have some advice for me?
Yeah, I do, mate. Hey, I'm a German Shepherd trainer.
Oh, yeah?
And you have absolutely no idea what you're in for.
Good.
Let me tell you.
No, James?
From the get-go, yeah, apart from having to deal with the obedience, the pooing and the weeing on the carpet and having to clean it up,
yeah,
the long walks, the constant harassment at all hours of the day, you will have no idea what you're in for, and I'll give you about 3 or 4 months and you'll be looking to handball back.
James, do you see a lot of this, a lot of handball backs?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's pretty sad. Dogs get used to the environment they're in, and really it's the first between 4 and 6 weeks where they learn the most.
Yeah, it's a low act, isn't it? A low act from the owner?
Absolutely, so it's really crucial times to get them trained and to do the right thing with the dog.
Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, James, I just have nothing else on in my day, so I don't think I'm really that worried about this.
Yeah, just going to sit there and train it all day.
Pretty much.
James, yeah. Can you play Xbox with the dog? Is that normal?
Yeah, look, you have a bit of time out, no doubt. But at the end of the day, if you're dealing with seeing eye dogs, it's more than a commitment.
Yeah.
It becomes a dedication.
Yeah, right. There you go, Tom. Ready for that? Dedication?
Paul, your daughter's had a seeing eye dog?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she got one and it was a few months old or whatever they take them. And
yeah,
they had this thing and they keep it for, I think, 6 or 12 months. And they'd go to the park and it wouldn't listen to no, obey you or nothing, run away, you call, it wouldn't come to you. And they thought, oh, that's part of the way that they've already taught it, not to obey things around it, you know. And then really? A friend come over or something and said, it's deaf. And it was actually deaf.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, and then they didn't want it back, so she got stuck with it. So, yeah, they do, if they're a reject, you get to keep them. So if you want a cheap dog, just say, bit someone, and you got a dog for free.
Well, that's some good advice there, Tom.
Yeah,
well,
it's not really the spirit of the program, though, is it?
Fingers crossed you get a reject dog, and you're happy days.
Look, I want some people who have had positive experiences with the Seeing Eye Dogs, because all I'm hearing now is neggy, neggy, neggy.
All I'm hearing is work, 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 which I don't want to hear.
Have you had
it's
a
hard
Seeing
work,
Eye puppy and it's been a positive experience? I know you're out there. 133353 is our number. Tell me, it's a good idea.
Are you wavering? Are you now worried? You are.
I don't know.
You're
second
guessing it.
My mind is, I don't know.
You're second guessing it.
133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's the Devil Inside in Excess. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. If you ever need to get in contact, you can do so via Facebook. Just search Tom and Ollie. We're asking on 133353 if you've ever had a Seeing Eye puppy, if you've ever volunteered for the Seeing Eye Dogs. And I'm specifically wanting to hear about positive experiences here.
you can't tailor make the answers you want, Tom. You need truth. You need truth bombs to remind you of the fact that it's not easy to get a Seeing Eye Dog and have a ball of a time.
We just had a barrage of negative responses, though. Like, we had three or four people going like, do you know what you're in for?
Do you? Do you know what you're in for?
And I'm like, yes, I get it.
Don't answer back. Just take the advice on and listen.
Let's just go to Wendy. Good evening, Wendy. Thanks for staying on the line for us.
How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. You've had a Seeing Eye Dog?
We've had two. Our first one was successful and became a guide dog for assistant dog for someone for 6 years.
Excellent.
And then we took a second puppy and he failed, but we love him to death and we kept him.
Yeah, see, that's a win-win, isn't it, Wendy?
Now, Wendy,
yes.
Were you a family taking a dog in?
We had, my husband had retired and he was home all the time and I worked part-time.
Right.
But the dogs were fantastic and the Seeing Eye Dog New South Wales was so supportive and so positive and they help you at every little inch of the way.
Exactly.
With training.
Wendy, though, what are your thoughts on a mid-20s man who has a couple of jobs, juggling life, trying to make it work, getting a dog?
Well, if he's not home for 4 hours a day, they won't give it to him.
I'm home for at least 4 hours a day. I'm home for like 7 hours a day.
Definitely. They'll definitely let you have it.
So,
then.
Wendy, as a minimum 4 hours. So, what, I can go to work from 9 to 5 and be home in the evening for 4 hours and that's enough?
No, 4 hours during the day because you've got to be able to take them out and teach them how, you know, to toilet outside. Look, if you do exactly what they tell you when you get this little puppy, it will train in the first week or so and you won't have poos and wheeze everywhere.
Well, that's music to Tom's ears, I reckon, Wendy. He's pretty chuffed right now.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me some positive feedback. Craig, you also have some positive feedback about the Seeing Eye Dogs?
Yeah, we had a dog last year and we gave him back in December.
Yeah.
And he's currently undergoing training, so he's still on the way to becoming a trained dog. So I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but we don't know yet. But,
right.
Brilliant,
look, it was positive. It is hard work. I took him to work. I'm a teacher at TAFE, so you can sit in the classroom all day. And I probably put on a couple of extra kilos throughout the year because I wasn't eating healthily. I was eating stuff out of the canteen that I could walk with. So that's something to keep in mind.
Oh, yeah.
I would have thought you'd get more fit from walking the dog. But
yeah, the trade-off, I think. The extra kilos I put in eating fried dim sims were counterbalanced.
The dog loved fish and chips, so I had to go there every day.
Well, luckily enough, the only piece of food here at work is a health food vending machine, so I think I'll be fine with snacking. Christian, you've had multiple Seeing Eye Dogs.
Yeah, we're on our third one at the moment, and it's all been good. All three have been awesome.
How old are you, Christian?
I'm 36.
Yeah, okay. So you're in the you're in kind of my generation, sort of.
You're not retired, Christian. You're working.
Yeah. No, I'm working. My wife works as well. She just works from home, so that's how it sort of works for us.
Yeah,
I work
because you got to be home in the daytime.
I work from home. Don't I, Ollie?
No, you don't. You don't do any work at home. You work on the radio like minimal hours.
Yeah, true.
But I tell you what, it'll be the hardest day of your life if you bond with that dog. Like I've bonded with all of them, and it's so hard giving them up.
Right.
Especially when they graduate and they do well and everything. And
you're like a proud father.
Oh yeah.
Tears, Christian. A lot of tears.
Oh mate, they were flowing.
Well, there you go, Tom.
Oh God.
Look forward to that.
I was hoping this would also help with a bit of mental health wise, you know, like just make me cheerful. Because it's a dog.
Oh,
dogs
well,
are supposed to like make you positive. What? Have you given up at the end?
It'd be great for a year, then you'd be distraught. You're broken hearted.
Aaron, what's your experiences with these types of puppies?
Tom and Ollie, you want another good news story? I will give you one.
Good on you, Aaron.
I will certainly try anyone. I'm actually a foster carer for the Australian Border Force, the Detected Dog Program.
They're so cute.
I've currently got my second puppy from them. I've been a foster carer since 2015.
What kind of dogs are they?
They're all Labradors.
Yeah.
You don't always get a choice in colour or gender, of course. It all depends upon what the litter has provided.
I'm sure with that.
But I'm actually going to be taking on my third in about a month's time, so I'm looking forward to that.
And you recommend it?
Absolutely. I recommend it because apart from the fact, obviously, a bit of companionship there,
yeah.
You're actually doing something for the community as well.
Yeah, which is exactly a new thing for you, Tom. So that'd be great. That'd be great for you to give back, actually. I haven't thought about that. That is a positive. It'd be good to see you give back. And then give the dog back as well.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Up next, rodent horror stories.
Tom and Ollie, Monday to Wednesday on Triple M. Because we can't afford them. Or they're just better in short bursts. You be the judge.
And we ask a lot of questions. 133353, we want to know your rodent horror stories. Mouse and rat horror stories. Ollie, there was an all-star female sent out today in the office.
Yep.
After something that you've done.
Whoa, don't use the U word.
You made pumpkin soup for us yesterday. It was bloody delicious. Thank you very much. And it came with some bread, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Now, where did you leave that bread overnight, Ollie?
Now, don't pin this on me because...
You left it near the couches on the coffee table.
Look, I saw the all-star female. Yep. And when I arrived at work, I was accused of leaving bread out. It was not me. It wasn't me.
You said that
and
it
that's
was
my
you.
Final word.
You apologized.
When did I say that?
You apologized.
Yeah.
To me today.
Yeah,
for leaving the bread out.
Yeah, I apologized because that's what you do. But I it was not me. I am shaggy in this situation. I was not cheating on my missus. It wasn't me.
You left the bread out on the coffee table this morning during the staff meeting that they have here where we're not here.
Yeah.
There was a mouse seen running underneath a full couch of people.
Which I am repulsed by. And that is a horrible situation. I personally hate mice. I hate rats even more. I'm shocked to hear there was a food-related mouse incident. I'm sorry if there was bread there.
And where were you going to put the bread tonight?
Well, you've told me to put the bread in the fridge, which,
correct.
Which I am.
Exactly right.
I cannot stand for that. I'm not putting my bread in the fridge because that's insane.
Well, look, currently level one in Triple M has a rodent problem.
That doesn't sound good for the client. No one's going to sign up now for more ads. God, Tom. All right, look, there is an issue with mice.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm partly to blame.
Yeah.
Let's open it up. 133353, mouse and rat horror stories because this is one of those things that I hate. I don't mind spiders. I don't mind creepy crawlies, snakes. But mice and rats, to me, are the worst.
Let's freak Ollie out with your rodent horror stories. 133353, you with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. In 20 minutes, what changed your life?
Big one.
What's changed your life?
Right now, mouse and rat horror stories. This stuff freaks me out. But we are in the midst of a plague. Particularly, Melbourne's going through a plague. But I think just generally in winter... Mice come inside. Oh, that's what they do.
Absolutely.
They escape the outside cold to get that warmth, which is annoying because I get blamed for leaving bread out at work, which I maintain I didn't do that. I didn't leave bread out.
I
ate bread.
You're the worst at lying, mate.
I ate the bread. I didn't leave it.
You wrote in horror stories. My sister texted me and said she had a mouse in her oven.
Oh, God. How's this? My grandma always told me this story.
Yeah. 133353, by the way, if you've got a mouse or rat horror story.
It's always freaked us out. She, one time, this is in the country, right? So you can get real plagues there.
Yeah.
They got big plagues on their farm, but she got into bed one night. She was wearing a nighty, like a classic old lady from the country.
Oh.
As she got into bed, opened the doona up, got into bed, a mouse crawled up or ran up her nighty.
Oh.
It was on her person. It was on her person. It's so gross.
Mark, have you had a rodent horror story?
I have.
Tell us.
Used to live in a property in Western Sydney.
Yeah.
At the time, my wife and I had just gotten, well, which actually ties into the story of what you were just talking about. We just had a 12-week-old English staff puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we had the dog running around the house and standing at the kitchen doing the dishes and felt you know the dog brush against my leg. Saw you know out the corner of my eye, so it felt a brush against my leg. Didn't think anything of it until about 10 seconds later when I saw the dog come walking in from another room.
Oh.
Turns out it was a rat the size of my 12-week-old.
Mark,
yeah,
Ollie is not a fan of rats.
Mark,
I can tell you that.
I mean, is it just me or are rats the worst thing in the world?
They're pretty gross.
Oh, it's their speed that gets me. You know, unlike a spider or anything else that's a bit gross, it's the speed of mice and rats that running around.
Andrew, what happened with the rodent?
Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
You've had a rat or mouse horror story?
Oh, yeah, well, a horror story for one, but not for me.
Right.
I was on a tour of India on Royal Enfield for a mate.
God, yep. India's known for rats, isn't it?
And we're staying at one of the hotels they gave us, which aren't always the best. Anyway, I drew the short straw. I slept on a mattress on the floor, and my mate had a bed.
God.
So then I was lying there asleep. We sort of, at night time, we sort of heard a bit of noise around. We said, there's something in here.
Yeah.
So my mate had one of those flashlight things that you put on your head that has a red light, so it's not really bright.
Yeah.
So he turns it on, he turns his head, he turns it on, and he looks at his bedside, and there's this mouse sitting there looking at him.
Oh.
And so he squawked. So the mouse jumped off the bedside, jumped onto the pillow, had a crap on the pillow, then it jumped on his head, and then disappeared. And I've been ribbing him about it ever since.
Could you sleep, Andrew, after that?
Because the mouse just disappeared. We found where he was living the next day. He was living in the bathroom up the hole.
That noise of the scurrying on the floor, when I'm lying in bed, it freaks me out.
It used to happen at your old house, didn't it? I used to hear that.
Yeah, it did. God, it was not fun. The worst thing as well, like in places like India, and like I'm guessing other Asian countries, is they get brazen. When they're living in countries where they've got to really go and get food from bins, like you try and scare them away, they don't give a damn.
Really?
It's horrible.
Oh, scary. Luke, what was your rodent horror story?
Oh, I woke up one morning and thought I'd go grab some breakfast, so I chucked some bread in the toaster. And, press the toaster down. About 2 minutes later, it pops up. And I'm smelling something funky going on. And I pull the toast out and look underneath it. There's a dead mouse in there roasting away. Then I get home later on and I go to meet Dad. I go, what'd you have for breakfast? He goes, I had some toast. I go, did it smell funky at all? He goes, there's a bit of a whiff. I didn't know what it was. I go, go look in the toaster. And he's looked in the toaster and there's a dead mouse just frying away.
Why didn't you remove it?
Oh, because I wanted him to see it.
That is foul.
Mouse just had a big trip to the solarium.
Yeah,
Toast.
I was going to say Toast is like a little mouse heater, personal heater.
Hey, Nikki, you've had a rodent horror story.
It's up there, but was going for months. I was living in Alice Springs about 5 years ago, and there was a plague, and we ended up having to sleep in tents in our house every night because they were just like running across us during the night.
Oh, Nikki! You say the word plague. Give us a visual of what kind of things.
We ended up, everybody, like the whole town was bombarded and everybody was sharing horror stories, like there were people ending up in hospital with infected eyes, and all of our linen was covered in like rat poo mouse poo. And then we got someone out to like put baits all around the house, and I used to trap them and catch like, I don't know, like 100 in a weekend.
Oh my god.
I had to drown them. I used to do a salute to the sun and then drown all the mouses in a bucket.
And Nikki.
My sister had a little baby and she was breastfeeding.
Oh.
And I remember one day she looked down and she had a little piece of poo on her nipple.
133353 rodent horror stories. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. That's insane. Fortunate Son with Creedence Clearwater Revival. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. The podcast is at triplem.com.au or on iTunes. You just search Tom and Ollie if you want to catch up. We're doing rodent horror stories on 133353. Let's just jump straight into it, Ollie. We've got
so many coming in.
Oh, Greg, what's yours?
Well, I used to be a cellarman at a Western Sydney pub.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, we used to have a rat that we used to call Harry. Basically, Harry also had a liking for hamburger buns, where he would basically take a nibble out of each little bun on the hamburger rack.
Oh, no.
And they used to be left out, delivered, basically wet out in my area where basically all the alcohol was left.
Yeah.
Anyway, one day obviously the owner spent thousands of dollars trying to fix up this problem.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we used to see sightings of him and he used to kill. We had heaps of dead other animals, but Harry seemed to always survive. And one day, I was going through and I was lifting out all the kegs and everything else and a whole sack of beer. and there was an old stack of the boss's old personal tax files. Oh. So I was going, rummaging, well, not going through, but I've just lifted up the box, and basically Harry's basically jumped out at me.
Oh God.
Anyway, he's ran behind a pallet of beer and everything else, and so I've called all the kitchen staff, and we're all surrounding this one cornered area, basically trying to, you know,
did you get him?
Include Harry, and we look basically look like one of those B-grade movies where, you know, everyone in the kitchen's got a weapon trying to get this poor little rodent.
Did you get
anyway,
him or what?
No, well, I've moved the pallet and everything else like that. I've got a big broom and everything else trying to whack, ready to whack him with. And Harry's, we couldn't find him. Then Harry's made a bolt and ran straight up my leg, up to my shirt and everything else. And basically, I'm an ex-footballer, but I screamed like a girl.
Oh, I would too. I would too, Greg.
You screamed like a man, Greg. Really?
It's kind of man, yeah. Oh God, rats.
Long-winded, Dylan. Hey, what's your rodent horror story?
Mate, me old man. We were going to footy, so he chucked on his sneakers, and he's like, "Oh, foot must have gotten bigger." Anyway, didn't pay attention to it. Went to footy. I played my game. My cousin was playing his game, and he was sitting in my camp chair.
Yeah.
The next minute, he's like, "Fuck me, foot!" Like, oh, sorry.
Oh, damn it, Dylan. Okay, hang on. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to get back into the lay. We're going to go back to Dylan and hear the rest
no
of this
swearing.
Story.
No swearing,
Dylan. Okay. All right. All right. We're back into lay. Here we go, Dylan. What's finished off your story, mate? What happened?
Yeah. So from the start.
So your dad put his. He realised that there was something wrong.
Yep. Yeah. So we're at footy. He watched me game. Watched my cousin's game. Next minute, he's like, "Nah, foot's too. There's something wrong with my foot." So he takes his shoe off. Next minute, his dead mice falls out in pure embarrassment. Was he it? Picked it up, put it in the cup holder. Anyway,
what?
We pack up, go home. We kind of all forgot about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we told mum and had jokes, and we forgot where he put the mouse. About 2 months later, I went camping with my mate.
No!
Pull my camp chair out, and my mate's like, "Why is there a dead mouse skeleton? Why is there a mouse skeleton in your chair?"
That is excellent, Dylan.
I'm glad we went back to you.
Imagine
mate.
Your dad thinking that one of his feet has grown. Like, my foot's got bigger.
Dylan, was there any like blood or anything on his sock?
No, it must have been in there for a while.
Just suffocated.
Oh God.
Yeah, wow.
So I was already dead.
Lisa, what happened with your mouse or rat horror story?
Oh, hi, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Well, I live on my mum's property or my family property, and our ducks had ducklings, as they do. And mum went out one morning, and the ducks were having a bit of a fuss. So she's like, "Okay, I'll go see what's going on." And she walked into the duck pen and found one of the ducklings halfway down a rat hole currently being eaten while it's still alive.
Oh. The word rat hole is the most horrible phrase I've ever thought of.
Well, there's many of them, rat holes, on this property. And
God damn it,
I know. And so she found another one of the ducklings that already died, had already been eaten.
Oh.
So
the ugly one.
Mum had raged war on these rats and actually managed to kill about 60 of them with traps.
Good, yeah, good. I'm all for it.
Yes, and then the ones that she couldn't catch, she poured petrol down the holes and threw a match in.
Oh! Bloody some kind of action hero. Who's that? Like Jason Bourne or something, like just burning up animals.
Patrick.
Pests.
Patrick, you wrote an horror story.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Yeah, mate, freaking out about these stories, Pat.
No, I heard this rat thing. I just had to give you a call.
Yuck.
So I used to work in this shopping centre, distribution centre in Western Sydney, and you have not seen rats until you've seen this place.
Oh, no.
There's certain foods I just won't eat because I know what they like eating, like tomato paste in a tub and lactose-free milk, tuna. I've seen them chew through a tuna can.
Oh, God.
These things are unbelievable. So on a shift change between, say, a day and afternoon shift, and all the aisle pickles be quiet, and you can stand in the aisle, you can see probably at least 30, 40 rats just running around chasing each other, and they're quick.
Oh, no.
The worst part is when they die, they stink up in about 6 hours. They're putrid.
Really?
And they're in the food.
And so this is just during the normal day, they're running around the
aisles. Oh, yeah.
The
they're brazen. Yeah, we used to get some resident owls just to come in to sit in there at night and knock them off.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That night. It was pretty, sit there and watch it, you know. But the worst thing I ever had happen to me the big part of the machine there was called a sorter. And there's only two parts where you could actually, a rat could enter in the sorter. One end, like I say, north or south end.
Yeah.
But when the sorter would stop spinning, the rats had to make a bolt for the exit.
Oh.
And that's where they catch their breath and just chew cables. And that's when, hell would break loose, nothing would run. So you go down there, fix these cables up, and bang, you have this a rat about 8 inches long run up your arm, up over your head.
Oh, there it is.
It's out there.
Oh, Pat. God.
Do you want some more, Ollie?
Look, we'll take a few more. We'll go to a song. But if you've got a great rat story, just for the pure horror of it, I'll hear it. Because it's freaking me out, but it's good.
133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Kaleo with Way Down We Go. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M in 5 minutes. We'll get into what changed your life. Right now, though, your story's about rodent horror stories.
Man, they're just disgusting. And we are in a plague. Winter is the time for rats and mice particularly to seek out that warmth. So if you're lying in bed tonight and you hear a scurry, don't ignore it. Freak out, because it's a mouse. But then get a mouse trap. My mum, though, here's a quick one. My mum always, she can't use mouse traps because she's Buddhist. So she's full like, you know, don't kill animals.
Yeah, sure.
So she tries to do humane traps, which you can Google, where it's like you get a jar with honey in it and you put butter on the sides and you try and catch it in a humane way. She's tried like four different methods. Never works. I'm like, Mum, just get a bloody trap that kills it and be done with it.
Chris on 133353, what's your rodent horror story, buddy?
Yeah, we had this really putrid smell coming out of the garage, and the wife said, look, you know, you've got to go and get this thing sorted. So, well, we've got a lot of possums up here on the northern beaches. I thought, you know, maybe one's carked it behind there. So, yeah. My 14-year-old daughter, I had to bribe her for 50 bucks. I said, listen, I said, Saturday morning we're going to clean the garage and, you know, get this rat out of the back here. Anyway,
great job for a young daughter to get involved
with. Yeah, well, 50 bucks will buy it.
Yeah.
So, we moved some furniture, and that was the first one we found, you know, must have about a foot long tail.
Oh.
No head.
No head?
Absolutely stank.
Ghost.
No head.
An evil ghost rat with no head.
Evil. So we poured bleach on it and we got the big broom out, you know, and we're cleaning this garage down. Anyway, it smells still there, you know. Unbelievable. So we moved some more furniture. The second one.
Oh, God.
Even bigger one with an even longer tail. No head.
Oh, what's this? What's going on? There's a rat killer in the family.
Don't know, mate. Bloody stank. Anyway, we come out of the garage after we've cleaned all this up, so, you know, bit of a look around, and there's a third one.
Oh, God.
This one's still alive, limping down the street.
Oh, God. Did you get to the bottom of what was eating the heads of the rats?
No idea. I think this one just carked it a bit further down. I think it got a bit hungry, you know, just eating in his mates.
I don't know what's worse, a rat or a headless rat. I mean, just two horrible thoughts.
It's just disgusting, isn't it?
Chad, you gave us a message on Facebook, mate, because you're listening in Canberra. Good on you, buddy.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Chad. You've got a pretty bad rat story.
Oh, mate, this one's a terror, I tell you.
Yeah.
I was backpacking up around Byron Bay, so we're up in Mullumbimby with a Swedish bird. We were doing this woofing, so it's willing workers on organic farms.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways, these hippies, it was like a proper commune. They put us up in this dingy caravan. Anyway,
trust one, Byron, hey, Chad. Yeah, trust Byron.
We're having a, you know, just, yeah, normal sleep one night, and I heard this scratching noise. I thought, what the bloody hell was that? You know, and I turned around to the missus at the time, and I said, well, are you hearing that? She thought I was stuffing around. I thought she was stuffing around.
Oh, no.
So, anyways, we just let it go, you know, the next night, you know, sort of laying there, we're reading a book. Anyways, next minute, I've seen this massive rat, mate. I'm not crapping you. This thing was like a big bush rat.
Oh,
bolted straight in the door behind the mattress that was on the floor, and I thought, Jesus. Okay, so I've got my bodyboard. I've told her I'm standing on the chair with this bodyboard ready to belt this rat. I said, just pull the mattress out quickly, and I'll belt it. Anyways, she's moved the mattress. It's gone running out. I've missed it. Anyways. I thought, stuff this. I've gone to pick the mattress up to move it out. Anyways, there's this screeching noise. I thought, what the bloody hell is that?
Oh, no.
I tell you what, there's stink coming out of it. And I've looked in this. There was a hole in the head of the mattress right where we slept. And there were about eight baby rats.
laying right where our head was. Oh, mate, it was disgusting. The first part of it, I went and told this hippie bunch. I said, mate, this is ridiculous. Come on, get us out of this caravan. They go, you didn't touch the mattress and move it out. So I said, of course I did. She goes, oh, the mother rat won't come home now. You've ruined it.
Oh, so, God. Well, hopefully they all die, Chad.
Oh, mate, it was rotten. We packed up and we got out of there, mate. That
mate,
night.
I don't blame you. And you've also ruined my night. So yep, I am not going to go to sleep.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks for getting in touch on Facebook. Jesus. Tom and Ollie on Facebook. Oh, I'm so glad you're annoyed, Ollie. Finally, something that's going to get you. In 5 minutes' time, what changed your life? Maybe that changed yours, Ollie.
Oh, yeah, I think it has.
Triple M, Tom and Ollie.
Tom and Ollie.
Cook the men some eggs.
Come get some.
On Triple M.
Go up there and make out of a noise.
There are a couple of pencil necks we found out in the bush.
Yeah.
One's got a cookie duster, the other a man bun.
Ah!
Tom.
Hello, sailor.
And Ollie.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
Yeah, my parents aren't, but I am.
This is Tom and Ollie.
Just to get together with a couple mates and then it sort of just got out of hand.
On Triple M.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't really.
Ollie's just coming down from the rodent horror stories that we just experienced. Head over to our Instagram at Tom and Ollie. Just chucked up a little video on our story of Ollie's reaction to our last story.
I wouldn't even know you were filming. I was in such shock after some of those stories. I mean, that mattress story from Chad was just horrific.
Yeah, you'll be able to hear that back on the podcast. But it'll be up about 10:05 tonight on iTunes or triplem.com.au.
You laugh at me, Tom, but I can freak you out because at this time in 2 days, you're doing comedy, stand-up comedy. So who's freaking out now?
Great. It might change my life, Ollie, which is what I want to talk about now. Because last night we were talking about a silent retreat. Remember we were talking about silent retreats? We luckily had Alex called up and she had this to say about silent retreats where you go for about 10 days and not speak.
So it changed my life. I became very disciplined, very concentrated.
Wow.
I ended up going to university, completing a degree. And I'm not saying it all stemmed from that, but it really gave me such an awareness of who I am, how I think, what's going on.
So we thought it'd be pretty cool on 133353 to just explore the idea of life-changing events, and I think like transformative things. So if something's happened to you in your life that changed your life, I mean, hopefully positive stuff. I think stuff that has somehow transformed you, maybe it was that the birth of your child was life-changing, or a friend of ours, Riley, loves Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Like maybe seeing a speaker changed your life.
Something that made you think about things differently, really, I think is really the main thing of what we want. And what was that? What was that thing that triggered it? 133353 is our number.
Life-changing moments. Transformative. Transformationing.
Well done, Ollie. You got it there.
Thanks, mate.
It's Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Epic. Faith No More, you're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. 20 minutes time, some bad advice. Have you got some bad advice? On 133353, we want to ask, what changed your life? Was there an event or something that happened that made you see the world differently?
What changed your life?
Thanks, motivational speaker.
What changed your life?
Grabbed you
by the collar. That kind of thing.
Last night we heard from Alex, who went to a silent retreat, and it changed her life for the better. She went on a 10-day silent retreat. And she was more focused. She went to university afterwards and studied. A complete change of her life.
And I think for us, that's now in the back pocket. You know, we now go, well, a silent retreat could be an amazing thing to do.
So
why not do more?
Absolutely.
Let's hear more of them.
Let's add to that list and find some other life-changing experiences. Dane on 133353, you have had a life-changing experience.
Andy, Hamish, how are you going?
I think you've got the wrong show, Dane.
Good try. I was thinking you guys really let yourselves go. 8 o'clock on the Triple M.
Thanks, Dane. They are the best.
Something that really changed my life was probably meeting my missus. You know, like
nice.
She does everything for me. You know, she cooks, she cleans. I honestly can't iron a shirt to save my life.
So like chores. So she's changed your life through doing chores.
And just a good cook as well.
Right. Yeah.
No, but seriously, no.
Come on,
be nice.
How has marriage changed your life?
We've had two beautiful kids. You know, we've got a house. We're living the dream, mate.
Great. I was going to say, Dane, like meeting a significant partner is a life-changing experience. It changes your life dramatically.
Oh, unbelievably, yeah.
Are you a different person from when you were a single lad?
I used to party 8 days a week, you know, like I was out of control. And then now I work 8 days a week. And
but you're a better person.
Much better person.
Yeah.
Well, quickly, I've got a mad rap story for you if you want.
You want to do a rap?
No, a rat story.
Oh.
Not now. If you could message it into the Facebook page.
We'll save it and put it in the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
DJ Daniel Johns, mate, you've given us a call. What's the what changed your life, mate?
It's a bit of a sad one, but my brother's best mate a couple of years ago was one of the guys that was king hit and died on New Year's.
That is so horrible, DJ. I'm sorry, that's insane.
King hit stories are just the worst.
Yeah. But it gelled our whole group together and made all of us very aware of how bad violence is. And that whole group started the whole Stop One Punch Can Kill theme and events and all that. So we've made such a difference because of that, as bad as it is.
Amazing.
But even when I go out now, I'm so aware of everything that's happening.
Yep.
And I sort of try and take on that fatherly figure, like I'll look after all my mates just no matter what, to make sure they all get through.
Excellent.
Yeah, good call, DJ. Were you kind of a violent group beforehand, or were you provoking or anything when you went out?
Not at all. Just like that event was just my mate being my mate and loving life, and another guy that was going the opposite way, wanting to cause trouble.
And DJ, I think there's still work to be done in just changing that whole mindset of when you go out and have drinks, that it's being a tough guy and being a big man is cool. It's just not cool, is it, DJ?
Not at all.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, buddy.
And I'm sorry you had to go through that horrible experience. I mean, I just couldn't even imagine it.
Life-changing.
Bloody king hit. Like,
coward punch. The words changed from king hit to coward punch, rightly so, to change that idea. I mean, you're not a king. You're a coward if you do it. So, great one, DJ.
Yeah, good point.
Sam, you've had a life-changing experience?
I have, yes, guys. How are you? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good
evening. I was at the hot springs. I've always struggled with my weight. I used to be over 600 kilos.
600? 600?
Yes. Yeah, I was massive, mate. Yeah, massive.
That's 600 kilos?
Is that possible?
Yeah, it is possible. Yeah, I'm here. I'm living.
God, Sam.
So what happened? How did you change that?
Nothing. I just woke up one day, went to the hot springs, and they got me up there. We had a lot of people to help me to get up there, and I was inspired to see my friends. And some people, there were a few people on the top of the hot spring, on the right on the top of the hill, which is the hottest possible one.
Yeah.
And we're just talking, and some ladies, some of the girls inspired me. They said, look, you're a handsome bloke, and, you know, if you can lose your weight, you'd be a very, very attractive man. And that went psychologically into my brain, and within 8 years later, I've come down to 165. So.
Oh, my God, Sam.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an inspiring thought. I'll share that with you guys.
So hot springs, if you want to get motivated, go to the hot springs.
Go to a hot spring, it relaxes your brain and it gets you motivated. Absolutely.
Bit of meditation, maybe.
That's absolutely insane.
600 kilos.
I'm just reading here.
Yeah, let's not fact check it. Okay. I want to undermine what Sam's telling us there, Tom, even though it sounds a bit crazy.
Well, I'm just reading here that the Guinness World Record says the heaviest man is 442 kilos.
So, Kieran, you've had a life-changing moment?
I have indeed. I went to jail, just out of jail for 3 months.
Wow.
You spent 3 months in jail?
Yep, and but basically because of I was in a relationship where the woman had mental health issues and an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And these days they put the AVO against the bloke, and she kept on calling me up and asking me to help her out when she was drunk every couple of days, and she stole my car, broke my key off in the ignition and smashed my back windscreen, and they put me inside for assault. But yeah, so a bit of a life-changing experience.
So the jail time did you good in the sense that it gave you a fresh start?
Oh, yeah, it definitely gave me a fresh start and to look at life in a whole new perspective, but also appreciate life, just the little things that we don't recognise each day, because when you get locked down for 23 hours a day in a cell where you don't get to see the sunlight, and you start appreciating, you know, the sun and the sky and the trees.
And what was the most positive thing when you came out? Like, what was that little thing that you just take for granted?
Just your freedom.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a life-changing experience.
Yeah.
A flower in the breeze, Tom. The sun poking through the trees. All that stuff.
God, you're a poet.
I am a poet. 133353, keep those life-changing experiences coming in. What was transformative for you? Because there are great stories to hear.
Absolutely.
Sam losing 500 kilos? I mean, that is incredible.
That is insane.
It is unbelievable.
133353 is our number. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Take me down, Pete Murray. off his upcoming album, Camacho. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
On 133353, the number here, we are taking your life-changing moments or experiences. All those, or whatever happened to you that maybe had a huge impact on you and changed your life.
We've already heard about marriages, losing weight, getting out of jail. These are all life-changing things.
Transformative, even. So if you have got one, be quick. Call right now on 133353. We're about to move on.
James, you've had a life-changing experience, buddy.
Yes. About 3 years ago, when I was around 21, 22, my parents split.
Right, okay.
Now, as sad as that was, I've still got a good thing with them, but when they moved out, when they announced that they're split, I went, nah, can't take it.
Yeah.
So I moved out, and 3 years later, I've been with my partner for 3 years. I have a full-time job for myself. I'm self-sufficient, live out of home, and I just took it upon myself to, I need to actually just get out of a toxic environment and be me.
Right. Wow. So were you over 18 when they divorced?
He's 21.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so right. James, you were pretty reliant on them when they were together, and then you decided that changed everything, did it?
Well, I was, you know, I was working a job as a concert roadie. I was working as a pizza delivery driver. I was slacking off, playing games during the day, sleeping in, taking my time, not worrying about things. And now, you know, it's like, well, I've got to get my budding gear. I'm in my 20s. May as well, you know, start acting like it.
Yeah. Wow, James. I mean, it's incredible that something sad like that can actually change your life for the better, though.
Oh, definitely. And definitely.
In hindsight, it's got to be the right thing to do as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
Wow. Thanks, James.
Tom, up next, bad advice. If you've ever received...
So we've gone from changing your life to bad advice?
Yeah. If you've ever received bad advice, we want to hear from you.
Actually, can we just go to Scott? Because Scott's actually had a pretty incredible life-changing experience. Before we move on to bad advice, Scott, what was your life-changing experience?
31 years ago, I had a liver transplant.
Oh, my God, Scott. What was it, the reason for it?
I had a rare genetic disease, which was high copper in the blood, and it ate my liver away.
So you're going to die without the liver?
I had 6 months when they put me on the transplant list.
Oh, my God, Scott. So what happened after you heard about that?
Well, I was in hospital at the time, and I managed to get a liver within 3 days of being put on the transplant list and been doing really good ever since.
And so obviously that was a physical change, like you were physically well, but was it a mental change for you in that moment?
Nah, not really. All I'd done was took every day as it comes.
Okay. Yeah, right. So
a subtle mental change.
Yeah, well, I've had 5 heart attacks since then.
Oh, God, Scott, that's not good, mate.
That's all right.
Good luck with your 6th one.
No, there's not going to be no more.
Okay, good.
Good, Scott. I love how he's just taking it as it comes.
Yeah.
Very good. Bad advice up next with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
One's a long-haired hipster flog, and the other one is Tom. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Quick one for you, Tom. I've got a story based on bad advice. So if you have been given bad advice in your lifetime, I want to hear from you on 133353. How's this? A girl I know on Facebook, like I barely know her. Right, so the kind of person who I reckon I met her 5 years ago. We were friends on Facebook.
I know the one.
Since then, wouldn't even speak to her in the street.
Right.
So you can laugh at her expense, and I went for bad. I get the impression that she's not that smart because here's what happened: she posted a photo of a very large mushroom that she'd clearly picked from the ground.
Yeah.
It was sitting on her kitchen bench on a chopping board. It was a photo of the mushroom, and the caption said, "Does anyone know, can I eat this? Is this okay to eat? Is this mushroom okay to eat?"
Why did she want to eat the mushroom?
Well, clearly eating mushrooms is a thing. I mean, vegetarians go out and pick these, you know, nice fungi stuff.
Yeah,
but
sure.
The key to it is you've
got
to know...
Some people have other use for mushrooms as well.
Well, yeah, sure. But the key to it is you've got to know what you're doing. Whether you're picking up magic, you know...
No, well, you shouldn't be doing that, Ollie. You don't go picking that up.
Well, whatever, I'm just saying, whatever it is, you've got to know what you're doing with mushrooms. She'd said, "Can I eat this? Can I eat this mushroom?" Would you believe the comments? What would you think people would say?
Please, just don't touch it.
Well, a number of comments said, "Don't eat it."
Yeah.
Do not eat it.
Yeah.
Some comments said, "Yeah, it's fine. Eat it." Can you believe that? Talk about bad advice.
Well, I mean, there was like 10 comments. Probably half of them said, definitely don't eat it. Half said, yeah, it should be fine. I'm looking at it now. It looks fine. What if she ate the mushroom and died because you said it was okay on Facebook?
Yeah, it's bad advice.
It's terrible advice. So 1-3-5-3, have you been given bad advice? Have you ever received the wrong advice? Because it could be very annoying.
Maybe it was a doctor. Maybe it was Google. Maybe it was a friend of yours.
Yeah, a friend. You do that, Tom.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. The one I love, REM, here with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. 25 minutes until we sink our teeth into naughty after nine. We're going to be talking about that taboo thing of premature ejaculation. We're going to be asking if you've suffered from that one. We do ask a lot of questions on 1-3-3-5-3, and tonight's no different.
Were you given bad advice, or have you received bad advice, is the question on 1-3-3-5-3. Quite slow on the phone, so if you have got a story, you can definitely get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was sharing the story about a girl who was getting advice on Facebook, and she had a mushroom posted saying, can I eat this? And all her friends were saying, yeah, it should be fine. Can I be clear? There are plenty of mushrooms that will kill you.
And our producer, Belle, was saying before, Belle, you had a similar situation.
Exactly the same at my apartment precinct. We have a Facebook group, and someone posted a photo, bright orange mushroom. Hey, guys, can I eat this? Same thing happened. The thread of comments. Yeah.
People saying, yeah, eat it, love.
Yep, half-half. And we just sat there going, well, we're not even going to participate because she might die.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Absolutely weird that people are getting mushroom advice online. I don't think that's the best way to go about it. 1-3-3-5-3, if you had some bad advice, maybe it was from Google online, maybe you went to the doctors and they gave you some kind of bad advice.
Speaking of Belle, I mean, Belle had advice for us recently. She said that no matter what, if you buy a car, it will go up in value. So I just want to be reminded of that. She said, even a Toyota Corolla, if you buy it, it will go up in value. Belle, do you still stand by that advice? Or
yes, because it will become a classic car. Not every car becomes a classic car. It will be vintage.
All right. Come on, answer the phones now, Belle.
1-3-3-5-3, if you have been given bad advice.
Donna,
you've done just that. You've had bad advice.
Oh, Donna? No, Donna's just been given a bad line, I think. Oh, she's called back. Donna on 1-3-3-5-3. Sorry about that. You've been given bad advice.
Yes, GP told me. Well, I said, can you tell me what this is on my back?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, no, just moisturise. And it was, I went to another doctor and it was melanoma.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Donna. That's not good.
That's the kind of thing you can probably sue for, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, but I could have been dead by now.
Yeah.
Jesus, Donna.
So you got a second opinion and they said it was melanoma.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what did it feel like? Because I know that this is a very important issue and people should get skin checks regularly.
Well, I had a lot of other sunspots as well. Mm. So my back was quite itchy and I wanted them all looked at. Mm. But it's true, I have read online that they look like an ink splat, and this one really did.
Right.
And it did end up being a melanoma. That's absolutely
Is it like a freckle? Because I always wondered if I should get like
a skin check. No, it's got to be bigger than, say, the eraser on the end of a pencil.
Ah, the razor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In terms of circular size?
No, it was like an ink splat.
Right, okay.
Well, just get your skin checked.
Yeah, you go, doctor.
Just get your skin checked. Well,
rather than trying to get
Donna
to translate it for me.
Otherwise, that might be some bad advice.
Yes.
1-3-3-5-3. Did the doctor give it to you? Did Google give it to you?
Who gave you the bad advice?
You were Tom and Ollie. On Triple M, this is the Foo Fighters with Big Me. Wish you were here, Pink Floyd, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Naughty after 9, 15 minutes away. I'm going to be asking if you've suffered from premature ejaculation, and we'll ask you a few questions about it because we do that on this show.
Yeah, nice and serious, that one. But before we ease into that, I thought we could slowly feel the vibe of Naughty After Nine with this one. The birds and the bees chat.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you've ever had a birds and the bees chat, because I never had one.
Okay.
I didn't get that. Mum never really sat me down.
Really?
Dad wasn't around.
I realise it says so much about you.
But I feel like these days, kids, you catch up. Like, I wasn't at 16 or 15 going, how does sex work? Like, I got it.
Really? So you just had to work it out yourself?
What, so you actually learnt sex from your parents?
Absolutely. Grade 6.
Grade 6.
We had a presentation night where parents and students would come along together, and we had the puberty chat. We had the puberty chat. Yeah, but, Producer Belle is also nodding her head. You had one of these types of things, Producer Belle?
Yeah, we had a night. Yeah, the parents came along. You had to sit between your parents while gross. They talked about it.
Yeah.
I had puberty lessons in grade six, but I don't recall intercourse lessons, and not from the parents particularly.
But surely the puberty chat led into those types of questions and said, oh, you know, and you know, this could be happening. And
I reckon I missed out.
Really?
I missed out.
So where were you learning it from?
Well, have a guess.
Online?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, God.
And that's why I expect, you know, unfair things. 20-minute blowjobs.
Surely there'd be some...
and lingerie all the time.
We haven't got into Naughty After 9 yet.
Well, we're easing into it. Here's what I want to know, 1-triple-3-5-3. Did you get a Birds and the Bees chat? Particularly, did you get a bit of a crappy Birds and the Bees chat? Did your parents do a hack job? Like, did you have a dad who sat you down and was like, right, here's the deal. You get a girl and she'll have a vagina, et cetera, et cetera. Did you get a Birds and the Bees chat that wasn't quite up to scratch?
If this is you, if you can think of a moment like this where it was like, oh, yeah, my Birds and the Bees chat went a bit haywire.
Give it to me because I never got it. So I'll take your average Birds and the Bees chat and I'll learn from it.
1-triple-3-5-3 as we ease into Naughty After 9. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Green Day, bang, bang. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Naughty After 9, not far away. And we're easing ourselves into it. We're going to be talking about premature ejaculation after 9.
Yeah, but right now, it's before that all happens. It's the Birds and the Bees chat. I never got a Birds and the Bees chat. I don't know why. My mum is more of a go and find out for yourself kind of gal, which is funny. So, look, I'm 1-triple-3-5-3. I thought it could be fun if you have received a shoddy, not up to scratch Birds and the Bees chat from a parent. Maybe they were awkward about it.
Because I feel like there'd be some dads.
There'd be awkward parents who just can't quite give that talk with the integrity that it deserves.
The best part about my Birds and the Bees chat was after the puberty night at school, we got given I think Dad bought a book or something from the night. It was called The Puberty Book. It answered so many questions and it was brilliant.
Really?
Because then Dad didn't have to go through the awkwardness of having to sit there and talk me through it.
I do recall the session where at school in grade six, because I had a session that was kind of similar. Mm. There was an anonymous question part where you could write a question down and put it in the bowl.
What did you ask?
I asked what happens if a guy is having sex with a girl and he does a wee. Which look, she pulled it out, the teacher, and she was like, look, you might laugh. This is not uncommon, though. This question is given a lot.
I'd be keen to hear some of the questions that were asked in sex ed. I remember a guy once asked, can you get stuck?
In a vagina? You can.
Jesse on 1-triple-3-5-3. You've had an awkward Birds and the Bees chat?
Pretty much my old man has been told by my mother to come and give me a Birds and the Bees talk.
Yeah, good.
She went to the place where you go to get the dommies from and come home, given to my dad. Then my dad proceeded to walk into the room, turned to me and said, do you know how to use them? Threw them to me. And I said, yeah. And he's just gone, all right, sweet. Walked out. Mum found out 10 minutes later that was the Birds and the Bees talk. Wasn't very impressed.
Oh, of course not. Jesse, I mean, there was not even any discussion of what they were.
No, just pretty much asked me if I knew how to use them.
And you said yes?
Yeah.
Did you?
As a kid does, you're not going to tell your parents no.
Yeah. So you're like, yes. He's like, great. All right. Enjoy.
Yep, that's pretty much how it went down.
Oh, my God. Jesse, can you remember back in sex ed, were there any ever questions that got asked as well that were a bit silly?
Oh, well, I remember one time there was this girl in my class. She didn't know that there was an extra hole down there.
Oh.
So she thought that was two.
Yeah, the teacher turned around because she's asked the teacher, like, how do we have sex? Is it going the same hole as where you pee? And the teacher said, no, get a mirror. And...
get a mirror.
You'd be able to see what goes on.
I mean, I was baffled. When I learned there was three holes, I was baffled as well.
Yeah. Oh, I was
18,
like,
I reckon.
Are you joking? That can't even happen.
As an almost adult, I learned that. Because it is counterintuitive that there would be three holes. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you kind of just...
We are really getting into naughty
after night. Yeah, we're getting a bit naughty here.
I'm going to keep it open. 133353. Did you have an awkward birds and the bees chat? Or was there a silly question that was asked during sex ed at school? You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. I'd die to be with you tonight, Jimmy Barnes. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Naughty After Nine is definitely not far away. We're easing ourselves into it. We're going to be talking about premature ejaculation after 9 o'clock and how it all works. But now we want to know about your awkward birds and the bees chats or those silly questions that were asked in sex ed. 133353.
Now, Michael, you've had a tough birds and the bees chat. Was it with your parents or someone else?
With my school teacher.
Why was that? Why was it your teacher jumping in with normally a parent chat?
I don't know. It was in year 12 and this was a male teacher. Anyway, I was talking about the boys with us. And, like, we're sort of close and stuff, but then he was explaining to us about safe sex and all that.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he's talking about how oral sex is not good at the same time. And he starts going into detail about oral sex with all of his boys. Oh. And, you know, like, it's a bit weird coming from a teacher, especially.
Yeah.
Man, we're just like, what the hell's happening? And for a teacher to say that to us.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about detail of what the girl does, what the guy does.
Oh,
and
God.
From a teacher especially, man, that's
weird. Why weren't your parents doing it? Are they no good at this kind of chat?
My parents, I don't know. I don't even talk about that with the parents, man. Yeah. I knew all this stuff, but when I was young.
Yeah, it's the same as me, Michael. I knew. I just knew, Tom. Whereas you had to learn, I just knew.
Good on you, mate.
But actually, weird question, though. I mean, sex ed at grade 6 is actually, I'm guessing, pretty straight. Pretty male and female, isn't
well,
it?
Well, back in the day, yeah, absolutely.
How do they do it now? Do they go, all right, guys, penis and vagina, unless, of course, you're gay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's the whole idea of safe schools.
Safe schools, yeah, it's more anti-bullying, but it's not sex ed.
What's the other one? No, safe schools is all about making sure that everyone felt inclusive and everything as well.
Yeah, but it's not particularly a sex ed class.
No.
It's anti-bullying. So I'm wondering, how does a generic sex ed class work these days?
Well, it's pretty easy. Protect yourself no matter what sex you're having.
Yeah, but do they describe it?
Yes.
Do they go into details?
Yes, mate.
You don't know that. You're just saying it.
I'm like 100% sure.
Well, that's pretty sure. I'll take that, even though I'm not quite convinced.
Well, do you want to go to the phones now? Do you want to, like, what do you want to do?
No, well, it's 9 o'clock, so normally what do? Do your job, mate.
We got a naughty after night up next. Premature ejaculation with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.